Still rocking after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA, online since 2004, it's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show. With the original rock and roll geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, 2024, and it's 6:46 p.m. when I'm recording this show open. I just got off the phone with Tuck Smith. He's got a new song that's coming out on Thursday, and I'm going to be premiering that on the show. We talk a little bit about it and talk about some other stuff. The song is absolutely fucking great. It's called Take the Long Way. We talk about that, read some listener questions, and we just shoot the shit. He's a really cool dude and such a major, major talent, man. So that is coming up. Before I play that, though, so stick around for that. And I'm going to also play another song before that as well. We talked about this kid he produced, this 14 years old named Lex Bowman. I'll play that before I go into the Tuck Smith interview. Before I start that, though, I keep wanting to say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I'm flying to the Podcast Hall of Fame tomorrow. My plane is supposed to leave at 8 a.m., and I've been watching Alaska Airlines because they've been canceling flights since their door flew off that plane, and all the flights have been canceled, and so far, the flight is on time, but that same route today got delayed for like 5 hours. I heard that they sat on the tarmac for 5 hours. I'm not looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to going to the Podcast Hall of Fame. I wrote my speech. Man, I got to tell you, I'm scared shitless getting in front of all these people talking because none of these people know who I am, and I'm sure none of them care. But I'm the first one being inducted. I'm the first, and Adam Carolla is the last. And Dr. Drew is emceeing the thing. Maybe I'll try to get a picture with Dr. Drew. We'll see. But Adam Carolla is doing his by video. So I'm the first one at this thing going on. It's going to be streamed on YouTube. It's on the Libsyn stream, which is spelled Libsyn, I think. I'll put a link on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group as well before I get on the plane tomorrow or at some point before this thing starts. So I'm first, and then there's all the other people between me and Adam Carolla. So I have nobody to use as a gauge of what I'm going to say and how I'm going to. So I wrote down a speech. I'm not going to read this thing. I'm trying to. You know, I just wrote it down so I have muscle memory for the bullet points. And then I sent it to Chris Capel, the rock and roll copywriter. He kind of punched it up for me a little bit. And so yeah, I did that. I'm really scared about it. I'm flying in tomorrow. The Podcast Hall of Fame is Friday at 7 p.m., I think, Eastern time. So that would be, I don't know if you're in California time, that'd be like 4 p.m., I guess. Doing that, some listeners, three or four listeners are coming, and they're going to sit at the table, which is going to be really good to have some moral support. My stepdad, John, is going to be at the table with me. Paul Smith, who I've met once at a Florida Gators football game. Patrick Shanahan, who I don't think I've ever met in person, and a guy named Ashley Edgman, who I have never met either, I don't think. So I'm going to be sitting at the table, so I'm going to have a little bit of support from some friends of the show. And we're going to be drinking because I told John, bring down the Yeti knockoff cooler, and we're going to get some Tecates, fill that thing up. And I'm going to be a little bit buzzed before I get up there and talk because I'm nervous as shit. I don't want to read it. I want to speak off the cuff and, you know, say it like from the heart, but I have to look down at this fucking paper because there's no way I can memorize this thing. So the speech is probably going to go about 5 minutes. So that's coming up. I'll probably record something with the people at the table and stuff, you know, when we're sitting around at the bar or something before. And We're getting a little behind the scenes, and I'll post that while I'm gone. Then I'm going to be spending a week with my stepdad. We're going to go back up to Jacksonville, and we're going to go up to the mountains in Georgia. And then I'm going to fly back on the following Friday out of Atlanta. So that's coming up, friends. I had a show planned, but Tuck Smith took priority because Tim Binder, friend of mine, is working his album, or is working his new single, and asked me if I wanted to have Tuck on, and I said, "Fuck, are you kidding me? Of course." So I'm doing that tonight. I will play audio comments and all that stuff and some new music on the next episode. But thank you for listening. I'm going to start off with a band that, well, that's actually a kid, a 14-year-old kid that Tuck Smith produced. And I think he wrote this song, too. It is called, the kid's name is Lex Bowman. This song is called While We're Still Young. I mean, it's a fucking catchy as hell tune.
Wanna do tonight? You're all dressed up and my hair looks right. We could go down to Riverside Drive, turn off the headlights, give the bass a try. We're too fast for this slow town. Make it last here and now. So light it up and burn it down. Down. Streets just to feel alive. Got you crawling out your window so we can get high. Your mama ain't home, she's working overtime. We're too fast for this slow town. Make it last here and now. So light it up and burn it down. Down. Chase the stars while we're still.
Hey, Tuck, how you doing? Thanks for coming on the Rock and Roll Geek Show. I really appreciate it, friend.
Yeah, you're one of my favorites, man. What are you up to? You cooking a Cornish ham for dinner for your wife?
Well, we just had burritos tonight. Took it a little bit easy tonight.
Okay. Well, last time you were talking to me, you were saying that you've been going out hunting game birds and butchering them yourselves.
Yeah, I think I had a rack of elk last time I talked to you, but none of that today. I didn't have a good hunting year. I missed the deer. Not a great shot with the bow.
Got it. Okay. Well,
so what did you have for dinner? Sounds like you're eating now.
No. I was at a session today, so I went and got some Vietnamese food takeout.
You're in Nashville?
Yes, I am.
What was the session you were in?
Just recording stuff. I've been producing and a bunch of stuff down, mixing. Honestly, just taking, saying yes to everything.
Oh, other bands.
Yes.
Did you do that new Fast Eddie?
Yep, I did the full record.
I've only heard two songs, and both those songs are great.
Yeah, man, that record, I'm not going to divulge too much of what happened behind the scenes, but that was one of the hardest records to get done. Man, those guys, I love those guys, but goddamn, you're working with true musicians
That means they argued with each other, right?
No, there's just a lot of partying going on.
Okay. Yeah, I went to a show and saw them play, and it was Wildlife, Fast Eddie, and it was another band with a girl. The guys in Fast Eddie, and they had a girl singer. That was a great show. So
I produced a lot of bands out of that scene, and it's like where I came from. I wish it was more popular, but it's what I love. So I'm always down to work with those kind of bands.
I heard the new song, and it's fantastic. It's really, really good. I mean, I'm telling you, you already know that. You don't need me to tell you that.
I don't know that because I do it all myself, and I keep it guarded. So for you saying that, that's awesome. Thank you.
I mean, it grabs you as soon as you hear it. It catches you right off the bat. It's great.
Good, good. Well, that's what I want.
Is you still have the same band?
No.
Is Ricky Dover gone?
Well, Ricky got a full-time gig with Grace Potter.
Right. That's why I'm asking you that. That's a pretty good gig
for you. Yeah. Well, look, dude, my policy, it's weird. I'm a solo artist, but it's not out of ego. It's just because it's so fucking hard to keep a band together.
Tell me about it.
You know what I mean? And I'm still on good terms with all band members and everything, and I love everybody. But my policy is kind of with Rick, he's so good. I was like, dude, you're going to get grabbed up by somebody bigger than me. And I just want you to know that I'm going to wish you the best. You just be straight up with me and handle it properly. You know, of course he did. So, I'm sure he's super happy with that gig, and he deserves any success he gets. He's a killer guitar player, and he was a great band member. So
he's gone now.
Yes.
Is it just you on guitar, or is there another guitar player?
No, this single, I've got two songs mastered. I've almost got four more I'm working on myself.
So you're doing all the instruments except for drums?
No, what I'm doing is because I'm doing this record independently. And what that means is, a buddy of mine I partnered with, and he's helping me because it's a lot of work. We're going to do this record independent. It's called Gypsy Rose Records. Mm-hmm. I named it after my border collie that I love dearly that died 2 years ago. But anyways, to keep it cheap, man, I'm just going and recording drums in a studio and a bass too. I'll have my bassist in there if he can't do it. We do it at my house, but I do everything else at my home studio. And I've actually been making a lot of records that way. I've been having artists come over here, and I've been recording full songs and, using fake drums. And then once the song's done, we go cut real drums.
Right. To all the other tracks.
Yeah. And it works really well because, I have a great analog vocal chain here and a bunch of amps and everything. So the only thing I'm really missing is the ability to record drums, but I've been finding out it's working to go to another studio and cut the drums and just drag them back to Pro Tools.
That's kind of, maybe that's not the kind of backwards. It's kind of backwards in a way, but maybe nowadays, maybe it's not so backwards. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's like you can record a lot of stuff at your house if you have some decent gear. And a lot of the artists I work with, they have budget constraints. And
What I'm saying though is usually record the drums first and then do all the other stuff after the drums and bass.
Totally. You could ask my drummer if he likes playing to fully fleshed out songs, and he'll say, fuck yeah, it's awesome.
Really? I can imagine that's probably better for a drummer. I don't know about for the rest of the guys in the band. I guess if you're the songwriter, you know how the song's supposed to go.
Well, here's what I do is I make what I call a demo, and it's fully done with fake drum. It could be released, right? And then if I have a bass player, which I do, Pony Boy, I'll have him play on it. And then I'll have Nigel, I'll mute the drums, and I'll have him play on it. And so everybody gets a chance to play on it, and it's kind of like it's actually a lot more enjoyable because there's vocals and shit on it. I don't know. It works really well for me.
So the drummer and bass player, are those the same two guys you had?
No, my original bass player, Shane, moved back to California. He was having some financial problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, the economy fucked, so he had to go back home and get his shit straight. And so I have another guy named Matt Curtis, Pony Boy Curtis, we call him. And he's a phenomenal musician, and he's playing on this record with me. He's a great guy. And my drummer's original, Nigel Dupree, which I call him my vice president. He's amazing as well, too.
Are you doing all the guitars?
Yeah. So like this first song, I'm playing all the guitars, keyboards, all the vocals, singing, all the engineering. I'm not mixing it because I'm just not there yet. And then, you know, I looking for a guitar player. I've been trying some people out and stuff like that, but just kind of taking it slow to find the right fit.
Yeah. And in the video, so who's the other guitar? Oh, so you don't have another guitar player. In the video, Ricky's playing on in the video, though.
No. Matt Gabbs from Biters is.
Ah, okay. All right. Because I just saw on the Tuck Smith fan page, and it looked like Ricky Dover was doing the guitar on that video. You guys.
Well, don't all us motherfucking rock people look. Nobody knows
I guess
the difference.
So. Yeah, I guess so. Especially with the rock.
No, I brought Matt in to do a guest appearance. Just stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah. He's still in Ravagers, right?
Excuse me?
Is he still in Ravagers, right?
He is, yeah. And I'm working with Alex right now on songs for their next record. Ah. So I'm going to do that this summer.
You're making a living recording other guys?
Yes, finally. I mean, it's taken a long time.
Yeah, I told you last time I had you on the show, there's that Tuck Smith sound, and it's a pretty distinctive sound.
Is that a good thing? I mean, yeah. Todd Rundgren's record sounds like, you know what I mean? Like, I like a vibe, right?
It's a good thing. I don't have to tell you that. You know, it's a good thing.
I don't know, man. Some people, dude, when I work with people, I go, these are just ideas. I'm not enforcing anything, but a lot of bands will be like, yo, we want like twin leads. We want our vocals stacked like that. That's why we come to you.
Ah, so they don't come to you for your great songs.
Well, I do help. I do help with the songs, 100%.
What do you mean stacking vocals?
There's a certain way I double vocals.
Doubling, okay.
No, I stack harmonies too. But look, man, credit where credit's due. Dan Dixon mentored me and taught me almost everything I know. And I still make a lot of records with him. But since I moved to Nashville, I've just been doing it on my own. Uh-huh. And we did the Fast Eddie record together, and we'll do a Wildlife record. And he's amazing, Dan. So, you know.
Is he in Nashville too?
No, Dan's in Atlanta.
Ah, Atlanta. And aren't the Fast Eddie guys like Denver or something?
Yeah, we went out there for a couple weeks. Okay.
They put you up, or they put you up in a hotel, or did you crash in a hotel?
It was like this, dude. It was a fucking condo they put me and Dan in.
Okay, Airbnb.
But it was a family condo, and it was like trapped in time from like 1996. It looked like it was like on a fucking episode of like Seinfeld. Yeah. It was weird as shit.
Oh, that's all right. We'll change the pace.
I had a great time. Yeah.
I got a bunch of I posted on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group that I was having you on the show, and I asked for if anybody had any questions. I got a few questions. I should probably get those out of the way before we move on. But anyway,
I'm not gonna strap you for time. You know what I mean? 45 minutes is cool.
Okay. Yeah. You gotta go to band practice.
No, dude, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and it's like a demon spawn half the time, and then like an angel. She's a true Gemini, so yeah.
I live with my, get this, 2-year-old granddaughter, so.
Okay.
I know how it is. That kid is, she's great, but she can be a pain in the ass sometimes, too.
Bro, it's like my mom says it's just karmic retribution.
That's right. That's what I tell my daughter. She's getting back at you. It's God taking care of you for how you treated me.
It's okay. Guess what, man? It was like a really good thing for me as a musician to have something else to worry about other than myself. It humbled me, and it's just better. It's just better, dude. You know.
Yeah, so you're making a good enough living to be able to support your daughter and your wife and everything.
Well, look, I'm hustling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's a good living? Not much in this economy. So, and you know, I get lucky with a couple of special jobs or something, or, you know, last year I sold a couple songs for a movie out of the blue, and then I got a placement, and it's like, so there's no security. It's just like, you go and go, and like sometimes I'll get jobs that get me through, and then I think I got to go push boxes around to Amazon. Uh-huh. Like literally, I was filling out applications for UPS.
Oh, really?
I'll get a job.
Have you taken any? So you haven't taken any civilian work?
No, dude. I'll get so broke, and then all of a sudden I'll get like so much work, and like right now I've been so busy. The last like 7 or 8 months, the busiest I've ever been with recording and producing and things like that. I mean, it's a hustle, dude.
What did you do on the Jet Boy covers record? Somebody asked me that.
Well, let me tell you this. Yeah. Let me tell you this, because I got to give it up. Biters toured with Cold Blue Rebels, right?
Yeah, with Mickey. I did not know you guys toured with them. Okay.
Yeah, I fucking love him because he's a fucked up character. Yeah,
I played in Jet Boy for a little while.
Okay, cool. Well, I love him. So he hit me up and he's like, "We're doing this thing with Cleopatra. Can you sing a song? Can you sing Dancing in the Moonlight?" I said, "Of course." So I did a Dancing in the Moonlight, a verse, and I had so much fun singing it that I just did a license with Japan for my last record, and they need a bonus track, and I was like, "Fuck, I'm just gonna do Dancing in the Moonlight for Japan," because I had so much fun doing it on the Jet Boy record. So yeah, I kind of copied them. But
okay, so that's why I was wondering, because I knew you did a version of Dancing in the Moonlight too.
So yeah, inspired by having so much fun on theirs.
Did you just record your part at home and mail them the parts?
Yeah, dude, I have like fucking really really good vocal chain. So yeah.
What's a vocal chain? What does that mean?
Well, I've got like this Neve preamp, and I've got a great compressor and a decent mic. So it's cool. The technology is wild. You can do things remotely and then send them through Dropbox. And it's just nuts how you do stuff now, dude.
So what is your recording program of choice at home?
I use Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Is Logic any good?
I've never done that, man. I've only worked in Pro Tools. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this guy, Chris Catalyst. He was in, he had this band. He's an English guy anyway. He played guitar with Ghost and whatever, but he does the solo stuff. He's like a power pop guy. He records in Adobe Audition.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, okay. All right. Me neither. I convert my show to MP3 from Adobe Audition. I never tried recording with it.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I feel like Pro Tools is like what every studio in the world has. If you go, they're going to have it. And most of the stuff that rock and roll or any kind of organic like instrument-based stuff is usually going to be on Pro Tools. There's exceptions, so I'm not a snob about it.
All right. Somebody asked, what bands are you producing right now? Somebody asked me that. Sandy Hyde asked that. Can you say the bands?
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff. So I did this band called Speed of Light from Orange County like 9-10 months ago, and they just got off tour with Bad Religion.
That's more of a punk rock?
It's kind of like Smashing Pumpkins meets Refused meets Turnstile.
All right.
And they're brothers and sisters, and they're like 16, 18, and 19. So that was killer. I just did a band out of Ohio called The Lonely Ones. They used to be in a band called Boba Flex, and they just put out a single I co-wrote and produced with them. And they're grinders, man. They're really hustling. I just did that Fast Eddie record. They're releasing singles now. I just did a 14-year-old young power pop kid named Lex Ballman.
Somebody asked about that guy. One of the questions was about that guy. Tell me about Lex Bowman. Are his family involved in that?
Yeah, of course. He's 14. Yeah,
14 years old. I listened to one of his songs. Sounds a lot like a Tuck Smith song. Did you write that single?
Yes. So, look, he's 14. Part of my job was vocational to show him how to write, how to record, and how to be in a studio and just basically how to do it because it's his dream or whatever. So it's like a vocational school. And, I mean, yes, I was writing those songs for him and, you know, making him force him to get ideas and teach him the craft. And I can tell you from the day he started working with me to what he has now is an unbelievable leap. And the songs are absolutely killer.
I heard that one song, "Why We're Still Young." That song is catchy as hell. That 14 years old, man, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, look, writing for him I would just put myself when I was 14 and put myself in that headspace and things. It was kind of a cool thing for me to do. It was a big challenge. And they were coming down to Nashville for like 6 months to my studio writing. And I was fleshing out these demos and really fucking putting him to work, man. Like really putting the pressure. That's what his parents wanted. And, you know, I had several meetings with them and I was like, I'm not a normal person. I don't know how to talk. I'm not a counselor. I'm going to just talk to them how I talk to people and be real. And they're like, that's what we want.
So how'd that work? His parents looked you up or did they know about you or how'd that work?
I think they were fans. They were fans.
So his parents called you up. Tuck Smith, we're fans and we want our son to be a musician or he wants to be a musician, whatever. And they just came and met and
look, at this point, like, because sometimes I spend so much time emailing people and going back and forth and they flake on me that I have to let people email me a couple times. Uh-huh. I know that sounds fucked up, so I know they're serious. And I did like 3 minute meetings with them and I was really reluctant because it was a lot of work. And in retrospect, I'm glad I did it. And I'm like super proud of the kid, man. I mean, the song is fucking killer and he stepped up and he really absorbed a lot of things. I think he's got a bright future. And, you know, I would be like, what kind of song? He's like, I want to be like Marvelous 3 meets the Cars or this. And he's really into Marvelous 3 and Butch Walker and things like that.
His parents taught him the music that they like, probably.
Yeah, his dad is a major influence in it. And his dad, Randy, you become friends when you work with people. Yeah. So, yeah, that was cool. I mean, totally different experience than working with a band. He's like fucking sniffing coke and drinking liquor and doing silly shit, being like
let it be known that Tuck Smith did not say that Fast Eddie was doing coke in the studio because he never said that.
I didn't. I'm just saying in general. And I've had stories with bands. Do you want to hear a 60 second story?
Go ahead. You got all the time until you're ready to hang up.
I was producing this band that shall remain nameless with Dan Dixon in Atlanta, and they were very Southern, the real deal, white trash, like badass motherfuckers, Skinner meets Motorhead. And they fucking would tour in this RV thing that was like a modern day pirate ship. It was fucked up. And we're in the first day of the studio, they're all fucking hyped up and ready to go. And we're in the drum room, and the only light in there is this one lamp. And we're loading in drums, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they forgot their cymbals. So I had to call Nigel to let them borrow cymbals, right? He brought them down. Nigel calls me and goes, hey, dude, I was pulling out and out by their RV, their merch guy was smoking meth out of a light bulb.
Oh, nice. That's
I'm like, holy.
How do you smoke meth out of a light bulb?
You unscrew the top, put the meth in there and light it from the bottom, right? And then use a straw.
I guess that's kind of like smoking hash from a upside down glass.
Exactly. So look, so he calls me. So he calls me. We're bullshit. So we go to set the drums up, and Dan goes in the corner and turns a lamp on and goes, "What the fuck? The light's out." And he goes, "Where the fuck is the light bulb?"
You smoking crack? He didn't have anything else to smoke the crack through, huh?
Bro, he stole the only lamp in the drum room to smoke fucking meth out of.
It wasn't his lamp. Okay, it wasn't his light.
He stole it. So there's a quick personal antidote, as they call it.
Did you bill him for the light bulb?
No, I like shit like that.
Okay, all right, good. You can't say the name of that band.
No, but the record turned out killer. They already broke up. So.
Oh, okay. So what are some of the bands that you like that you don't produce? Like the bands that you listen to? You listen to any current bands?
Yeah, a little bit. I like a lot of power pop stuff. There's a British band called The Speedways, and there's another one called Bad Nerves, which are kind of like fast power pop.
Yeah, I know those guys, yeah.
Influence with the Darkness. I really like them.
You like the Darkness. That's good. You like the Darkness. That's good.
Well, look, dude. I
love that band.
I do too. I had the same booking agent as the Darkness. They were like, you're going to do the Darkness tour, the one they did a couple months ago. And I was so excited. And he pushed them. And apparently they said, no, we don't give a fuck. We're not taking them. And so I lost the Darkness tour. And then I was dropped by the agency.
Oh, I wonder why the Darkness didn't want you to play with them.
I don't know, you know, they're not allowed to say, but you have the same agent, and they, he said I was the only band he submitted for them.
I saw them on that tour. That was the Permission to Land thing. And yeah. There was a band that opened for them. I assumed that that was a buy-on tour for that band.
Have you seen my new music video?
No, I haven't seen it. I don't think it's out yet.
So it comes out. I didn't know if Tim sent it, but it's about buy-on bands. Oh. I lost so many tours last year.
Yeah.
To buy-on bands and to bands who are inflating their metrics with money, like buying their way in,
buying views and stuff,
dude, there's so many bands that, you know, that are buying onto tours. Oh, yeah. Right now.
I know. I played with this guy, this old punk rock legend named Handsome Dick Manitoba, did a tour with
him. Are you kidding me? You kidding me, motherfucker? I toured with the Dictators.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, with Ryder. I grew up on that. I love that.
Handsome Dick is such a character. I love that man so much.
Me too.
Anyway, there was a band that wanted to do a buy-on tour. They were going to give him $250 a night and let us use the gear. And this promoter said no because it affected the draw. And so we said no to these guys, and we ended up drawing like 20 people to every show.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. So yeah, I know about the buy-on. I used to be in this a major label band, and we played with Black Sabbath, and there was a buy-on. So that stuff's been going on for years and years.
It's more rampant now. Now look, dude, I don't know if the buy-on band on the Darkness. I have that speculation. I don't know. All I know is they said no, and it was the last straw, and I was dropped. And, you know, I'm not mad at them about it. It's a sore subject because, you know, you're on a booking agency. They promise you all these tours. I went with them because one of the reasons I wanted to tour with the Darkness, and they chased after me, these agents, and they were just like, we can't do shit for you a year. So I didn't tour at all last year.
So they dropped you because they could not get you work?
Yes, I could. Because, look, dude, I'm not viral on TikTok. And I'm not buying on the bands if my streaming numbers were too low. Everything is based off metrics now. And a lot of these metrics.
So really, you got to buy streams in order to get to do anything. And trust me, I bet you 90% of these bands are buying streams. I have a podcast. You can buy downloads for your podcast.
The people, look, it's people are starting to wake up, but a lot of people that are in the music industry, they like a label or an agent or whatever. And I'm not saying they're dumb, but the first thing they'll ask is, what's their streaming and social media numbers? Right. The thing is, you can buy that if you have money.
Yeah. Yes. I know. It's
so when it used to be a great song or a great artist or charisma or work ethic, that was what you based, what you were going to work now.
It is
now
absolute bullshit, man. You know, this is the modern day payola.
100%, dude. My whole new video deals with this because I was so fed up of trying to get invited to this fucking party that I don't even think I would like anybody inside anyways. You've got these booking agents. Their rosters, small ones, their rosters are full of buy-on bands.
Yeah.
And to me, dude, like rock and roll is supposed to be anti-establishment. And now the playing field's so fucked up where it's almost like a hobby for rich kids now.
Alex Kane. You know who Alex Kane is? Anyway, he played guitar.
Sorry, taking a sip of water. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, this guy Alex Kane, who's the guitar player and one of the guitar players in Handsome Dick's band, he got a job as road manager for this band who bought onto the Buck Cherry tour. They paid $1,000 a show to get on for the option of opening for Buck Cherry.
I mean, look, dude. Here's the reason. Bands like Buck Cherry, it's so expensive to tour.
Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know.
So they need money. So, like, am I going to blame them?
I don't blame the headlining bands.
It's a symptom, but the thing is, now it's starting to snuff out. I'm like sour about it because
you can't get on a tour unless you buy on.
Dude, I could not get on a tour. There's bands out there that remain nameless that are pretty successful. That you would know their name, and they're buying on for like $1,500 a night.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, crazy. For, do that for 20 or 30 shows. That's like fucking what I make in a year. I don't make a lot of money. Like, it's a whole year.
You got to have tour support. You got to be behind, have a major label behind you to give you the money to do that. And I wonder if the buy-on really, really helps. I guess they figured they'll make it back in merch.
It does help. My question is, where are these people getting money to, to spend 30 grand on a tour, 20 grand on a tour?
So do you ever get so frustrated that you just want to quit and only produce?
I'm like, at this point, like, I definitely have a chip on my shoulder. And it's really fired me up.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say,
fuck everybody.
A chip on your shoulder can be a good thing.
It is very inspiring to write. And honestly, because I'm not trying to get invited to the party anymore, I don't give a fuck what I say. I just speak freely. And I'm not saying people that buy on to tours or fake their numbers are bad people and I wouldn't like them. I would probably like them. I just feel like everything is so disingenuous now. And the only thing I want is authenticity in the world and realness. And it's just fucking pandering and gimmicks and trying to go viral. And it's like, we've lost the reason why we fucking do this.
I totally agree, man. It is crazy. It is crazy. Not even to mention the backing tracks and all that.
I mean, yes. Look, if you talk to, I'll write or talk with other artists and stuff. And dude, it's like, yeah, my social media numbers, I do this, we're going to go viral. And I'm like, when was it like, I want to write, you know, my London Calling or my Born to Run or write my Raw Power or whatever the fuck. It's like, I want to go viral.
Right.
And then what?
And how do you make it go viral? You can't just make it go viral. You got to, the only way you can make it go viral, I guess you have to pay to make it go viral. And
you know how you go viral, dude? If you want to be successful on TikTok, you've got to be on there all the fucking time, like every day. And I just don't want to be on my deathbed looking back at my life and going, I spent TikTok all this time trying to make TikToks go viral. Now, if you want to do that, more power to you, but I don't want to do it. And I feel like there's not really a space for artists who don't want to fucking join the circus.
Yeah, I don't even know what TikTok is, to be honest with you. So
I like it, not for music though.
What do you get on TikTok? What is it involved on it?
It's basically kind of like you get news on it, history. I look at a lot of audio engineering and studio.
All right, I get that. I guess it depends on what you watch. I guess if you watch something, everything like that will come up on your TikTok.
Yeah, so I'm not like, I don't hate it. I just feel like my thing is like, I'm not hating on anybody for doing this. I'm just not going to participate anymore.
Do you create stuff on TikTok?
A little bit. I just post, but I don't make skits and like do funny comedy stuff and it's just not my personality.
What do you post on TikTok?
I just post like videos, my songs coming out.
Okay, just promote your band. You just promote your band on TikTok.
Yeah, and I like social media. I think it's a really good tool and an amazing thing. But you know, there's pros and cons to everything. So
yeah. Well, I've learned quite a lot tonight so far.
what other questions?
Oh, let's see. Somebody asked what bands you have coming up. I'd like to know, this is a guy from Australia, Shinbone Star. I'd like to know more about him partnering up with the Australian company Golden Robot. Did you partner?
So the owner, Mark, from Golden Robot has really been kind of chasing me the last couple of years. He's a huge fan. Uh-huh. And I've always been partnered with other labels and things. So this, he licensed these first two songs only in Australia and New Zealand. That's it. So he says he wanted a chance to try to work them in those territories. And obviously I'm not going to be working. And Mark's a really big believer in me. And he loves what I do, and I'm just trying to surround myself at this point with people who really believe in me.
So he licensed two songs. I mean, you've only put out one song so far, right?
Yep.
When's the next one coming out?
If I can get everything done, March 7th.
So is the whole album basically recorded, except it's just not mixed? Or
No, I have two songs done. I've got one with the mixer now. I'm almost done with three, and then I'll go back and cut the rest in February. I'm just doing it in like chunks.
You mix them all yourself, or does Dan Dixon?
No, I have Chris Dugan's mixing them, and okay. He works with Green Day and stuff. And he's a killer mixer. He's my buddy.
You know that Rob Cavallo did that new Green Day album.
I do, man. And because I've worked with Rob and I love what he does. Like, I wish I fucking could call them up and be like, this is fucking awesome. But, you know, I don't want to bother him, but that record sounds phenomenal. And the songs are great. What do you think?
I have not heard the whole thing. I've not heard the whole thing. I listened to the first three songs and I know this, I don't want to, I was making up songs for Handsome Dick Manitoba. And I made up this song and the third song of the new Green Day album is the exact same riff as I made it for Handsome Dick Manitoba, so I got to trash it.
Dilemma?
It's called Bobby Socks, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, they got some good tunes.
So I haven't lot listened. I got bummed out when I heard that song, so I turned it off.
It's okay to like have like personal like problems.
Yeah. But I'm Rob Cavallo is probably the greatest, one of the greatest record producers of, you know, of today, so I can't. Speaking of Rob Cavallo, do you disagree that he's not a good producer, or what do you think?
I love Rob. Okay. I mean, I learned a lot from him. Well, you know, making my record now, I want it to kind of sound like a Cavallo. If you listen to my new tune, it's like his kind of, it's that kind of style. It's like the modern power pop, rock, glam, cheap, tricky kind of thing that he's good at.
Yeah, you know? We talked about that Czar album he did. That thing's a... You've
it's a classic.
That's so fucking good. Anyway, yeah. So, speaking of Rob Cavallo, somebody else wants to know, and you answered this on the last time you were on, Lance says, will we ever be able to hear the full album he recorded before COVID? That's the one that Rob Cavallo produced.
Well, look, that label has it.
Yeah, so they're not coming down on it, huh?
Unless somebody wants to buy it for me, and I'll release it, and they can own a part of it. But you know, it's not going to be cheap.
Did they give you a price?
I don't know. It's probably a lot.
Yeah. Well, I offered you $5,000, I think, last time. I think I offered you $100,000, but I don't have $100,000.
I will say this. The new song you heard, the record I'm making, will be able to compete with the Cavallo record, and I'm doing it myself. That's how I'm dead ass serious.
Because you learned so much from him, from recording.
Just from everybody.
Yeah.
Well, like Doug, Doug was the engineer on the record I did, and he did it. He worked with Green Day and a lot of Cavallo records, and I learned a lot from him. And he engineered and mixed that Cavallo record. And he unfortunately died of a brain aneurysm last year, which was heartbreaking. And that's why he mixed my last record, Ballad of a Misspent Youth, because I was such good friends. I loved him. And then unfortunately he died, and I didn't know. And I loved his mixes. So I got Chris Dugan to mix it, and he was kind of in that family, and it has a similar sound and stuff that I like.
Died of a brain aneurysm, that was the guy who mixed all your records?
He mixed the Cavallo record and Ballad of a Misspent Youth.
That guy looked like, I saw a picture on your Facebook, that guy looked like a kid.
Who?
The guy who died, if that's the same guy who said it was one of your best friends or something.
No. That was my best childhood friend. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Doug was just my fucking homie, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you think of the new Marvelous 3 record?
I did a top 10. I think it was in it. I think it was like number 6 in my top 10 of the year, something like that. I don't remember what order. It was good. I'm not a huge... but no denying Butch Walker is a fucking great songwriter. I'm not a huge fan of his production style, but the songs had some good songs on it. I listen to the songs more than I listen to the production, really.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was like some of it, a couple of the songs were right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah, it's good power pop and good, you know, I'm not going to put down Butch Walker. The guy's a major talent, so. Like I said,
we're just kind of talking about that like 90s, 2000s rock power pop stuff. Yes, and that's kind of like my new record is kind of hearkening back to that. A lot of the stuff. So that's, you know, and I know you were a fan. You were all up in that kind
of. Yeah, of course. I mean, who doesn't, you know? Who does not? I mean, the song, there's nothing substitutes for a great song. Great songs withstand the test of time, and they withstand all genres.
I agree. You know, I agree.
Even it doesn't matter what kind of music it is. I mean, even Judas Priest can make a great song. I mean, it doesn't matter what style of music. A great song is a great song.
That's all I'm interested in, yeah. The tunes. That's it. You know, I agree with you 100%.
So what's the next single called?
It's called Glory Bound.
Glory Bound. What's, and the name of the album is Gypsy Rose?
No, that's the record label.
Oh, record label. So what's the name of the album going to be called?
Tentative right now. I've got a couple ideas I'm kicking.
Oh, you're not telling. Okay.
Yeah, not telling.
It's a secret.
Is it, if all goes well, the full record will come out August 22nd.
August. All right. Any gigs? Is it hard for you to get gigs, or do you even care? It's probably more.
Well, look, dude, after I was dropped by my last agency, I've been turned down since then by probably 10 agents. I can't get people to email me back. Nobody will book me. Nobody will return my calls. I will hit up agencies and I'll be like, hey, did anybody reply back? And they said no. I'll say, can you put me on the show? Nobody will put me on a show. So I just fucking gave up. Because I don't know what to do, but I am booking a European tour right now.
Well, that's good. Did that booking agent get you any gigs?
They got me one in a year.
Who and what gig was that? Just a headlining show?
It was a festival.
Okay. Who booked the Jared James Nichols thing?
Me and Jared's manager, okay. And then that label would help get a couple of shows. So actually they did help get three or four shows on there. Well, I'm not blaming them or bad mouthing. They couldn't get me any shows. That's
yeah,
reality.
I understand. You know, Handsome Dick Manitoba is doing some shows in Texas in May. Sure. It'd be cool to have Handsome Dick Manitoba open for Tuck Smith
or vice versa. Yeah.
All right, Tuck. Well,
that's all. I love hanging out with you, man. You're one of my favorites.
We can still go.
Well, look, do you remember when you told me to say that shit on Eddie Trunk I did?
Of course I remember. I taped it.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Yeah. All your fucking people.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be out somewhere and they'll be like, great, couldn't be better. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's great, man. That is so fucking great. That makes me feel so good. Because I don't know who's listening to this podcast, so that's really awesome.
You've got fans, dude. It's funny. I went out and did that Jared tour, like super great.
Oh, that is so fucking amazing. I love it. I'm going in the Podcast Hall of Fame on Friday. They're getting inducted into the Podcast Hall of Fame.
Well, guess what? You deserve it, buddy. I'm proud of you.
There you go. Are you going on Eddie Trunk to promote this song? Has he asked you?
I don't know. He, you know, I did my press release today and had my radio guys and stuff out, and Eddie texted me today, and he was like, I'm playing the new song. It's fucking great.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Well, Tim's your radio guy, right?
My buddy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I love that guy. He used to work for Liquor and Poker. I was in this band, American Heartbreak. He was our radio guy. Anyway, Tim's a great guy. And so I started thinking, I go, oh, no, is he going to be on Eddie Trunk today, too? So I went and listened to Eddie Trunk and just the intro to find out, because I was going to be bummed out if you'd have been on his show before you came on this one.
No, that's what we're doing, dude. You get first dibs, and he's goddamn sloppy seconds.
Yeah, fuck that guy. All right. No, I'm jealous of Eddie. I'm not jealous. I'm envious of Eddie Trunk. I wish I had his job, but yeah.
I don't know. You've got a vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just do what I'm doing.
Yeah, I like it. You're killing corners, game hens for your wife. You know how it is.
Yes, exactly. All right.
Any other questions?
Let me see here. A lot of them are about the Rock and Roll Hall, about the Podcast Hall of Fame. What band?
That's amazing.
Supporting the stadium tour. Besides his own recording activities, are there other bands he's been working with? You already answered that. any other albums that you're doing that we do? What's the best? I can't ask you that.
What?
Your favorite album that you produced this year?
A lot of stuff like Staggers, you know, and I'm doing like EPs and stuff. I did a lot of cool stuff this year, and I got stuff like continually to come out, but let's say I'm excited about doing the follow-up to Ravagers. That's going to be super cool.
Have you started working on that? Because that album is really good.
Yeah, I started like working on the tunes. Kind of, we're starting to spitball back and forth. I'm going to do pre-production with them in April.
So you're helping write the tunes?
Well, not really. Like, I want Alex. He gets it in there, and then I just kind of help. You know, he builds the house, and then I'll come in there and I'll put the tile up and the fixtures and paint it and just give it.
Alex is the singer for the Ravagers.
Yes, yes, and he works really hard writing those tunes. I just come in like a band member, you know.
So Matt doesn't contribute to the songwriting?
He does, 100%. Yes, okay, he does. Okay, they both. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like, let's say, like, this song White Widow, that was like a biter song I wasn't going to use, and I gave it to him, and I said, write the verses and do that. Here's the chorus and the stuff, and that's how it is. Because we're all friends. We've all played shows and known each other, and so it's kind of a community.
Here's a good question. This is a real tough question. Who cuts your hair? This is on the Facebook group. Somebody asked me, who cuts your hair?
She's in Nashville. Her name's Sadie Stars.
Sadie Stars. There you go.
She cuts Ricky's hair, a bunch of people. She's great.
She charge you?
Yeah, of course.
It's not cheap to get a haircut.
Well, I get like every 4 months.
No, you get the bro. Yeah.
Every 4 months. Right. You know what I mean? I want it that way.
I pay for a haircut like every year and a half. And then I break out the sheep shears and do it myself.
You know, I keep wanting to cut my hair, not like short, but kind of like a 70s punk cut. And then my face is so big and I don't have any head. Uh-huh. And so it just looks fucking crazy. So I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
Yeah, I can relate. I have the ugliest face in the world. That's why I have super long hair.
Well, you know, it keeps you in touch with the fucking energies of the earth, Indian style.
Exactly.
You know?
There you go.
Your antenna.
Killing those deers, or shooting at the deers anyway.
Yeah, those prize Cornish hens that you butcher for.
Hey,
you.
Man, those Cornish game hens are hard to hit with a bow and arrow.
Fuck yeah.
The miniature chickens, they're tough.
Yeah. I bet they're good, man. I bet they're good.
Yeah. All right, Tuck. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it, friend. And I wish you all the luck in the world with the record. And I'm going to be behind you 1,000%.
Thank you, buddy. Look, man, you're one of my favorites. And your fan base and listeners are awesome. And I don't know. It's cool. I was excited to do it, to make time for you today. So hopefully we'll talk again.
And when you go on Eddie Trunk, feel free to throw in a Super Great Couldn't Be Better. Or
Super Great Couldn't Be Better. Yeah, there you go. I'm damn right, buddy. All right. Later, brother.
Talk to you later, Tuck. Thank you.
Right, bye.
Bye. I think I'm on a roll, and maybe it's just mania. I haven't been the same since I was thrown out of the stadium. I can't lie, I did some things I probably should have not. Somewhere in between a madman and a debutante. I've been learning the hard way. I'm just trying to say. Taken to my cranium. I can't lie, I did a number on myself again. But what's the difference between Jesus and an indigent? I've been learning the hard way. I'm just trying. We'll be right back.
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.